Yeah.
What we should do.
Let's start with OMAC.
I'm looking down this list I have, and I have the list.
I don't have my list on me, so let's use your list.
All right, well, I have this Bleeding Cool list. I will send it to you real quick. Because it has the solicits when they were as they were announced. So running down there, first book I want to say, I have mixed feelings about this Aquaman.
I think the Aquaman's going to be just fine. You know why?
Jeff Johns is writing it?
Jeff Johns is writing it. Jeff Johns writing it means it's going to be a top 10 book. Jeff Johns only writes top 10 books. It's like giving a book to Bendis. Bendis could write the worst book in the world, it would be top 10.
See, one of the things I really want to see about this relaunch is that I would really like to know, because I think this relaunch is a perfect chance for everyone to see how much the creative team on a book really affects how much it sells. Because personally, like, I don't think enough people give a fuck enough about Aquaman to have that book make it to 12 issues.
I think after Brightest Day, he has the momentum to kind of make it.
I mean, in regards to that Brightest Day thing, it's like, the Aquaman Brightest Day story, like, that sucked.
His was one of the better parts in that book.
That book was all types of terrible.
The problem with that book was it was like, they kept not understanding the pacing, and then they would be like, oh, this is how you do it, and they get the pacing right. And like 4 issues later, they'd start screwing the pacing up again.
Yeah. But like, my thing is that I personally don't think there are enough people who like Aquaman to have that book make it a year. If that book makes it a year, it's not because that many people like Aquaman, it's going to be because a lot of people like Jeff Johns writing.
That's what's going to do it. They're using Johns to... Because the thing is, The Flash was not a top 10 book when Johns took it. And Green Lantern was not a top 10 book when Johns took it. And, you know, in Green Lantern's case, Johns built that to number one. Like, he didn't debut that. He debuted that, and it dropped, and then he built it back up. With Flash, when they were using Wally in the book, that was not... And that was like a top, like, 70 book.
See, but the thing that irritates me about that is I'm a huge fan of, like, that volume of The Flash, you know?
I love Johns' run on it.
Hmm?
I love Johns' run on The Flash.
To me, no. To me, Johns' run is easily the weakest, the weakest part of that book's history.
No, I cannot agree with that.
Like, other than Blitz, which is, like, that's one of my favorite stories of all time. To me, it's like, Wally was in much better hands when, like, Mark Millar and Grant Morrison wrote it. Like, The Flash was fucking awesome then.
Johns' Flash made me a fan of The Flash more than Wade's did. Like, I grew up with Wade's run, and, like, it was there and it wasn't there, and Morrison and Millar took over, and it wasn't... Flash just never drew me in. And I read Johns' run. Johns' run did it for me. I went back and read some of the other stuff. I'm like, I do like a lot of the Wade stuff I've read. Return of Barry Allen is the best Flash story ever.
Yeah.
Millar and Morrison, their stuff was hit or miss. But, you know, like, Johns, as long as you ignore Ignition, he's got a pretty solid run.
I mean, I personally think Johns had way too much of a boner for the Rogues.
That's one of the parts I like the most, because if you looked at my reviews from this week, I put Cold over heavily, because I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah, like, to me, he just had too much of a boner for the Rogues, and, like, so much of a boner for Barry Allen that he really wanted to try hard to write a Flash that wasn't Barry Allen. Like, that shit just didn't work.
The fact that he got famous writing Wally is why I always expect Wally's going to be, you know, not completely screwed over.
Well, you know,
because Johns does respect his roots.
There is a place in that dude's heart for Wally West, but it's like, you know that when that dude was writing Wally West, in his mind, he was just like, he probably just like little penciled in his notes, Barry Allen does this, you know.
I bet he does.
Yeah, he wanted to write Barry Allen. So to me, it's like, personally, like, I'm interested to see who does Aquaman. Like, in all honesty, like, that book will probably do really, really well. Like, you put anyone else on that book's not going to sell.
I mean, there's like a small staple of writers who could sell that book.
Yeah, and, alright, so, like, honestly, Aquaman, probably not going to get canceled looking at these lists. Wonder Woman, on the other hand, not going to get canceled, but I don't see Ryan Azzarello staying on that book for 12 issues.
The thing, I'll say right now, looking at the solid over here, and, like, the solid doesn't sell to me at all. Like, Cliff Chang's art is going to be amazing. If Azzarello pulls out, like, the best superhero story of his life, then good for Azzarello. But, you know, I've said it plenty of times, like, he's a crime guy. Like, we all know he's a crime guy. 100 Bullets was great. I don't mind his Batman work so much. Like, his City of Crime, the biggest problem with that period was that it was the issue after Hush. Mm-hmm. Like, if you put that book, that arc in Detective Comics at any other time, his Batman arc with Riso would have gone over just fine. But it was the follow-up arc to Hush, so it was just like you go from Loeb and Lee with, you know, high-octane, you know, action, tons of characters, bright, pretty colors, to noir crime. Mm-hmm. That's not a good transition.
You're right.
That's like artistically going from, like, a Kubert to, like, a Daredevil artist.
Yeah, agreed. So it's like Wonder Woman not going to get canceled, but I don't see
Azzarello on that book. I give him a 30% chance of hitting more than a single on this book.
Okay.
Like, there's a chance that he'll do decent, but at the same time, like, Wonder Woman is the character who they should have just up and moved out of the DC universe, and they should have found a way of keeping the JSA there.
To me, it's like seeing the way they put Martian Manhunter on fucking Stormwatch. Like,
that sold the book. That book is sold to me immediately. Not just because of him, but that book is a must for me.
That did sell the book to me too. They should just put Wonder Woman on Stormwatch too.
I mean, let's talk about Stormwatch real quick. Stormwatch, Paul Cornell, and who was it? Miguel Sepulveda. I can't pronounce his name.
I will look it up.
It's Miguel something. I'm scrolling down.
Yeah, it is.
Sepulveda. That book is a must-read, just so everybody knows. I mean, Paul Cornell, Stormwatch, Jack Coxmore, Martian Manhunter, Midnighter, Apollo. As long as the Engineer shows up, this book is like the epitome of must-buy.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Midnighter or Apollo or Engineer a little bit. Like, I read Stormwatch. Not really a fan of those characters, like the Authority and shit like that.
I love Authority, but this is the only way you can put anything close to Authority in the DC universe.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jack Hawkins' power, and, like, I just love that they put Martian Manhunter on this team. Like, I want to see what's going on here.
It's the strongest link between the DC universe and Wildstorm, as they're actually making a conjoint entity now, is that Jean is on Stormwatch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on, like, the premier Wildstorm team that actually has a book that comes out on time. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I love the Authority, but the Authority... If you put the Authority in the DC universe, that's, like, the biggest red flag of life.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, what? You just put a team of people who took over the world in the DC universe? What?
All right, so moving down our list... Reaching the first book that actually is going to get canceled, Captain Atom, straight up.
I don't think so.
No, dude. No way it's making it to 12 issues. I see it crapping out at 9.
You're giving me 9 issues, but I'm looking at Mr. Terrific by Eric Titans for Villains for Hire Wallace and thinking 3 issues. Maybe 4.
I say, no, you know what? I'm going to say 10.
The world's third smartest man and one of his most eligible bachelors uses his brains and fists against science gone mad. Michael Holt is the head of a successful high-tech corporation and an institute that recruits and encourages the finest minds of the next generation to excel. As Mr. Terrific, he inhabits a world of amazement few others know exists, let alone can comprehend. Where's Mr. Terrific? And here's another question. Without the JSA, how does he fucking exist?
Dude... I don't even know. I also don't know why they changed his mask from, like, a T to an M.
Or why his fair play is now tattooed on his arms.
Tattoos are cool.
Why does he have sleeves?
Why does Superboy have a tattoo?
Because he's Superboy and he's a teenager.
All right, well, Mr. Terrific's black and he doesn't have an afro. He's got to have a tattoo.
You see, if I had said that, it would have been racist.
Honestly, no lie, like, I only see that book making it I wouldn't be surprised if that book made it to 12 issues just because Mr. Terrific is black.
What are you going back? The only reason he got the book is they realized that maybe if Superboy's a clone, then Superman didn't get killed by Doomsday, which means there is no Steel. Oh, well, God, I made myself, like, sad just there.
Well, no, to me it's like, DC was very deliberate. And as far as I understand the process of the relaunch, DC had a certain amount of books. DC had certain books they wanted to launch. And the people who got those books are the ones who had the best pitches, which is why Brian Clevenger didn't get the right Firestorm.
I've not read Atomic Robo, but at the same time, I understand everybody being mad that he didn't get the job, but I'm not going to not read Firestorm because he didn't get it.
I mean...
And I've had people tell me that.
I haven't read Atomic Robo, so, like, as far as I'm concerned...
I've literally read two issues of that book.
What?
I've read literally two issues.
The only thing I've ever read by Brian Clevenger is 8-Bit Theater. Have you ever read that?
Nope.
It's a webcomic that he used to do based on... It was a sprint comic he used to do based on, like, Final Fantasy 1.
Oh, God. Sammy's linked those to me. I used to hate that shit.
Yeah. I just remember reading those, and then I remember seeing Atomic Robo. Wait. The guy who did that is doing comic book now? Good for him. And then when someone said he was doing Firestorm, I was just like, wait, what? That doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, good for him that, like, he built up his career. Like, that's great, but just, like...
Like, I'm happy to see that DC's, like, asking him for pitches, and I imagine that it's not going to be too long before he has one that succeeds, but, I mean, you know, Gail was nice on Twitter. She's like, I didn't know I was up against you. Sorry you didn't make it.
Yeah, no, it's like, to me, it's like...
But Gail's also the nicest person in the entire world.
Yeah, no, but to me, it's like, you're relaunching a new line of comics, like... You have a character that you're really trying to push. Like, I personally wouldn't put that in the hands of someone who's, like, not that experienced writing mainstream superhero comics. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, just because the guy knows how to write does not mean he knows how to write superheroes.
Yeah.
I mean, look at anybody from Vertigo who's crossed over unsuccessfully.
Like, to me, like, I would put him on Aquaman.
That could be interesting. It wouldn't sell a fucking copy, but it would be interesting.
No, I would put him, no, to me, it's like, to me, it seems like a waste with Jeff Johns on Aquaman. Like, it's not a waste in the sense, like, Jeff Johns is really going to pour his creative energies in the Aquaman. He's going to make the best book possible. It's probably going to be the best Aquaman book ever written. But I would much rather see Jeff Johns writing Wonder Woman than writing Aquaman.
Here's actually a fun idea I just kind of thought of. You know, Jeff Johns has only done the Jeff Johns reboot once. Like the kind of the whole, not reboot, but relaunch, reload, you know, rebranding of a series. He did that with Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. And then he did it with Flash. Flash is the first one of those two books that he actually bothered to leave. I want to know what the first month, what the sales of the first 3 months are once Flash hits without him. Because we've never seen Johns, you know, build up a book and actually leave it for somebody else to, you know, have to...
Honestly, to me, it's like he didn't even build up the Flash.
No, he really didn't. But it was a top 10 book, like, that sucked.
To me, it's like we waited like he's had a boner for Barry Allen for like his entire life, and he wrote Barry Allen for 12 issues, and like what did he write? Like nothing worth reading.
It was a horrible fucking book.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm saying the momentum from Flash, though. I want to see how well that carries over without his name attached.
I honestly don't think it hasn't happened before.
I want to know what kind of what that causes.
I don't think that momentum's going to carry over all. I think Manipal and Bucalato are kind of like, they're going into this book like, hey, like we're writing The Flash now. Like, what the fuck is happening?
They're deers in headlights right now.
Yeah, like I don't. Yeah, like to me, it's just like this is a book that, like to me, it's like this Flash book doesn't stand. This Flash book doesn't stand any better chance than Wonder Woman.
I think Wonder Woman has a better chance.
Completely disagree.
You know why he has a better chance?
Why?
Because he has a writer. What's next?
That's mean. Yeah.
Hey, tell me one book that Buccoletto or who I've never heard of or Manipal has ever written, and I'll resend my argument.
I mean, I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up another book in the meantime. We're going to talk about Hawkman.
What the fuck? Wait, seriously?
What?
I'm surprised. What?
No. What, the Eyebrow of Hawkman? Okay, I'll find a different book.
No, I'm surprised they're letting him write Wonder Woman. I'm surprised they're letting him write Flash.
Who?
Manipal. Like, it kind of doesn't make any sense.
Well, he was the artist, and he wants to keep doing drawings every so often. But who the... He's doing all the art for the book, apparently, but that means the book's going to come out, like, what, like, every 4 months? Oh, Buccoletto is a Heroes writer?
Was he?
I just Googled him. The first thing I saw was Heroes Wiki. Okay, we got found a comic find page on. I'll use that. Everybody, Comic Vine, great resource.
Comic Vine is a great set. I love Comic Vine.
Apparently he did 12 issues of Flash at the Brightest Day run. What? Apparently he's been on every issue here. I wonder. Let's find out here. He's listed as cover. I think he's an inker. I think he's Francis Manapul's inker.
Really?
I think he might very well be.
That's actually...
He's always the colorist.
Yeah, so I mean... He's not even the anchor.
He's the colorist.
I mean, don't say that like there's something wrong with being a colorist.
No, there's not at all. Paul Mounce is a great dude. I met him at C2E2. He's, you know, Paul Mounce has done more Wars of Fantastic Four than Stan Lee? Or Jack Kirby?
Really?
Yep, he's the colorist. He's done more issues than anybody in history of Fantastic Four. Nice. Really nice guy. He also did all the Spider-Girl covers.
Well, then of course you like him.
And he's Amanda Conner's personal colorist. He did Power Girl.
I mean, to me, this just seems like... I don't know why this is... I mean, no offense to these guys, but I just don't know why, like, this is the creative team that's giving the Flash to.
Yeah, this is a creative team that I'm saying right now is doomed for failure.
I don't want to say all that.
They're gonna get a couple issues. They're gonna hit a delay. They're gonna pull somebody else in there. I bet these guys are only planning to go for one arc, possibly four issues long.
Here's what I'm gonna say about that, though. All the writers had the pitch to get these books. They had the best pitch.
What if there was a better pitch, but the guys weren't gonna be ready to go on time?
Well, to me, if you had a better pitch, but you couldn't have three issues done by August, then, like, you were not meant to have the book.
Like, what if it was, like, a Jim Lee-type artist who has no understanding for timetables?
Well, no offense to Jim Lee, like, but that's just unprofessional.
Oh, I agree. Jim Lee's just a busy man. Like, I understand him. He runs DC Comics.
Yeah.
And he does a bunch of stuff. Like, I can understand that he doesn't have time to sit down and pencil 20 pages a month. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe Jim Lee's going to be able to get done 12 issues of Justice League.
I honestly think they said he has four in the can. I would not be surprised if Jim's got set up so that, they got like a, so kind of like Batman and Robin style, where he does the first three issues and there's somebody else with three issues, then he's back for three more issues. I would not be amazed if his pencils were broken up like that, just so that he actually could get them all in there without delays.
I mean, I would accept that, but it's like, to me, it's like, don't fucking come out of the gate and be like, yo, we have Justice League written by Jeff Johns and drawn by Jim Lee. It's like, don't come out of the gate and tell me that's a creative team, and then after six issues, tell me that, like, oh, this guy's going to draw the next three issues. Like, no, fuck that. I want 12 issues of Justice League drawn by Jim Lee.
I accept filling issues here and there, because, I mean, an artist is not going to do 12 issues straight. You so rarely see one artist do 12 issues straight.
No. To me, like,
at least not in the monthly format.
That's fine to me, but it's like, I want to see 12 issues on Justice League done by Jim Lee.
I'd be happy with six, because, like, Jim Lee, I'm happy to see six issues, because we all saw how long it took All-Star Batman and Robin to do anything.
To me, I want 12 issues, because it's just like, I just know that, like, that's going to be a beautiful-looking book. Like, if and when that book comes out on time, like, that book is going to be gorgeous. It's easily going to be the best-looking comic book on the shelves. Straight up. That is a book I will go out and buy in hardcover. And I hate hardcovers.
I love hardcovers, but...
Not a fan, but, like, that's a hardcover I will go buy.
I'll give you that. But I'll say, here's another example of a book like that. For what I'm saying. I'm looking at Superman number one. Written by George Perez. Breakdowns by George Perez. Art by Jesus Marino.
Wait, what book?
Superman.
Oh, Superman?
I'm looking at that. Like, this is an example of, like, you have a book with an artist, and, you know, Perez can write and Perez can draw, and he's the kind of guy where you want a guy like Jesus Marino in that book, who's got a good style and who's consistent and can do a monthly book, so that Perez can do, like, the random issue or two here and there.
Yeah.
Because if you give George Perez a monthly book, I love George Perez. He's probably my favorite artist in comics ever. He can't do a monthly book. He's too detailed. He works too hard, and he hurts himself in the process. JLA Avengers, the man gave himself arthritis doing a cover for.
I was just rereading that the other day, and, like, honestly, like, I'm sure he feels looking at those covers like it was worth it.
It was just that cover of everybody from both teams. He, in the middle of drawing the cover, he couldn't draw again for like 2 weeks.
I mean, it's a beautiful cover, though.
I know, it's like that's the kind of person he is, and the fact is, he's my favorite artist ever. Like, he's so good. And if Superman is him and he's got, you know, every 3 or 4 issues, he gets an issue or two here and there, I would be so happy for that issue or two here and there, because it's just like, this is perfect. And Marino's style is simple, is similar enough to Perez, that's not going to be a jarring jump back and forth.
True enough. But I will say, well, back to sort of our little game, Captain Atom is totally getting canceled. J.T. Krull, not a writer I have any faith in whatsoever.
I like him, but I don't have faith in it.
No, and I have no faith in the writer, and I have no faith in the... Come on, Captain Atom, DC. Like, why is Captain Atom... I mean, I understand, like, he was in fucking...
Generation Lost.
That's the one, yeah.
And the thing is, I love Generation Lost. That was a great book. And the thing is, when I saw that he was getting his own book and not being part of the JLI, I said, oh my god, he's doomed.
Yeah, like, it's just not... He's not going to work. No.
He's not a solo character.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, to me, it's like Captain Atom. To me, is sort of just like Captain Atom is really similar to Firestorm.
Firestorm needs like the only reason I think Firestorm is going to thrive at all is that, you know, by doing Ronnie and Jason the way they are and having, you know, Ethan and Gail co-write the book, you've got your extreme conservative, or probably not extreme, but definite, very vocal conservative. Then you have Gail, who I'm just going to assume Gail is like the most liberal person on Twitter. She's so nice.
She is pretty nice.
And I always put them that Gail's a liberal. But you have these two in a room, and you have them work, no, they're not going to be in a room probably, but you have them working together, and you've got one who can write Ronnie, one who can write Jason, and have two characters who are very drastically different working together. And it gives it an interesting twist in the book.
Yeah, no,
that's the only reason I think Firestorm is going to be, you know, really cool, is because you're not having one writer trying to play two. When one person tries to write two drastically different characters that have to work together, it always feels a little bit forced.
Agreed, but I've utter faith in this Firestorm
book. I cannot wait to read this Firestorm book, and I've never said that in my life because I usually hate Firestorm.
And no lie, like, seeing Gail's tweets about Firestorm and, like, seeing her tweets about Batgirl, like, have made me more excited for those books. So excited about those books.
Batgirl, for as much, you know, everybody knows I love the current Batgirl. It's my favorite book, one of my favorite books in the market right now. I'm going to be reading Gail's Batgirl, and I have the utmost faith in Gail Simone. Because Gail has never, ever let me down.
I mean, I'm not going to say I've never been let down by her.
I haven't. Like, I've enjoyed everything
about her. I haven't been a fan. I haven't been Birds of Prey.
I love...
At all.
Okay, I'll give you... It currently feels a little bit phoned in. But even phoned in, it's still better than half the crap I pick up. Am I looking down at my stack? I see New Avengers. Birds of Prey this week was better than New Avengers.
I mean, I didn't even read it. Like, I kind of didn't see the point.
Of which part? Birds?
Oh, reading Birds of Prey, yeah.
Well, they fight Junior from Secret Six. Dinah fights her. Dove gets stabbed in the back with a pair of scissors. Come on, dude. Dove gets stabbed with scissors. She starts bleeding out horribly.
I mean, why didn't she just dove out?
She was in dove form. That was the thing. She got stabbed in dove form, lost so much blood that she reverted back.
Does Dove not have invulnerability?
No, she just has enhanced healing.
Fuck, that sucks.
She got stabbed by a pair of scissors.
Stop laughing. Okay. That's almost as bad as your precious Booster Gold getting beaten with a door.
Hey, the car door is iconic.
Of course.
Okay, book is going to get canceled. Batwing. I would like to see it survive, because I do love Joe Winnick.
How do you think Batwing is going to get canceled and Captain Atom is?
Oh, Captain Atom, I think it's going to get canceled. I think it's going to last its 12 issues.
I mean, I also think Green Arrow's going to... I mean, I have no faith in J.T. Crawl, so I'm pretty sure Green Arrow's going to get canceled, too.
Green Arrow is always a middle-of-the-road sell. Like, it sells enough just because Green Arrow is a well-known enough name in the comics industry, and he's got a loyal fan base. I think Dan Jurgens is going to breathe a little bit of life into that book that it did not have in its last run. And I also... You know, I read the Brightest Day run, all that stuff with the forest and all that crap. Mm-hmm. And it had its moments where, like, you could tell Krull was... He had a story, he was trying to tell it, but then you could also tell the parts where it's like, man, editorial is just running this book right now. And I would be very happy to see J.T. Krull finally write something that is not run by editorial, because Green Arrow was done to coincide, like, bit for bit with Brightest Day. And Rise of Arsenal was definitely written by committee. And Teen Titans, it was like, you had 12 issues to make people care enough to read the last issue. Krull hasn't given it a good chance yet.
I mean, I think you're right, but I'm not going to give him one.
I don't blame you.
Straight up, I'm not.
In all honesty, I'll say, for anybody who's on the fence, though, Dan Jurgens on art is really hard to say no to. And I personally kind of like the Smallville costume. It looks better than the Robin Hood costume. Will you give me that much, that it's better than the Robin Hood costume he's been wearing?
No, I like that costume. I like the hood.
I don't like the hood. He's got a hood in the new one, doesn't he?
I don't know.
The Smallville costume has a hood.
I don't think... Does his new costume have a hood?
Yeah, it has a hood. I think the hood's up in the picture. We'll find the image of it. We've got them on our site. Jeep plug. Yada yada yada. Where's this hood?
Regardless, the costume is not why I'm not reading the book.
No, I understand this.
Like, to me, like, even the solicit doesn't make me want
to. Found it.
Does he have a hood?
He's got a hood.
Whatever. Not really all about Green Arrow. Hawkman. Like, reading the solicit, this seems awesome to me. To me, this seems like a complete reboot of the character.
It is. You know why it is?
Why?
Because the Justice Society doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but you said his continuity was carrying over.
I thought it was back when the JSA was carrying over.
Okay, yeah. As long as Hawkman's getting a complete reboot, like, I'm so down for Hawkman. Like, you know what though? Like, you know what I've always thought would be like the perfect setting for Hawkman?
So, like,
if I had to pitch Hawkman, like, it'd be in Scar Terrace.
I hate Warlord.
I'm not a Warlord. Warlord would be the villain.
Wasn't he the villain already in that arc that the guy thrashed Gail Simone for not talking to Mike Grell about? And she's like, Mike Grell helped me plot the whole thing.
Yes. But... That's totally how I would have pitched Hawkman. Like, Carter Hall is an archaeologist. He fucking falls into Scar Terrace. Is run by this motherfucker named Warlord. Oh, now he's Hawkman. And he fights. That's how I would have pitched Hawkman.
I just noticed something. There's a name I don't think I saw on this list.
What list?
Go to that list of books coming out and search for the name James Robinson.
Wait, no, he's not there at all.
There's an artist named Roger Robinson, but James is gone. So else he's got a Wave 2 book. What if he didn't take too kindly to all of his stuff being wiped out?
I mean, his Batman stuff?
Well, what books has James Robinson written for DC? Think about that.
Starman?
The Golden Age? JSA, Hawkman, and a JLA populated by people who don't exist anymore. I think James Robinson got retconned out of existence.
I mean, that's definitely what happened, and, like, if that's the reason he's not writing, and that's the reason he's not, if that, like, upset him personally, and that's the reason he's not writing a book, fuck him.
But I don't think that's what it is.
And I'm sure James Robinson is going to be writing something awesome. Like,
I imagine he's in the second wave of books. I imagine when they do bring the JSA up, because despite the JSA, according to the Superman solid, he's the world's first hero, which means no JSA. I assume that we're going to get an Earth 2 book with the JSA, and he's going to write it, and it's going to be great.
Honestly, dude, we don't need any Earth 2 books. Like, we don't need a JSA, straight up. Like, we don't need... Like, I'm not saying we don't need those characters. We need some of those characters, but as a book, like, as a franchise, like, we don't need the JSA.
We got a world out of Jay Garrick now.
To me, JSA always seemed... That entire concept always seemed way forced to me.
It was better than the first volume that they did in the 2000s.
No, the one that Jones did. I agree. That was good.
I mean, the whole we're going to push a society angle, and it's going to have a lot of people of different generations here. We're going to train new heroes. That was forced.
Yeah.
That was worse than the Magog angle they tried to pull.
And honestly, like, out of all those characters, like, the only one of those characters I'm mildly... The only one of those characters from JSA that I kind of want to see what's going to happen to is, like, I kind of want to know what's going to go on with, like, what happened to Power Girl. My cousin loves Power Girl. Power Girl's, like, his favorite character.
Power Girl's been one of my favorite books in the market. It's so much fun.
Haven't been a fan of that book, but it's a character I kind of... It's a character, like, I don't hate the character, you know? I would like to know what's going to happen to that character. Like, personally, I don't think the new DC Universe needs a Power Girl. She doesn't need to exist.
I like Power Girl, but, like... It'll be interesting to see what happens, because, you know, if she's not there, you know, that's just weird to have this character being pushed so hard for the past 12 years who just does not exist anymore.
I mean, to me, it's like, if you want to give us a Power Girl, fine, give us a Power Girl, but, like, just keep her away from all that Kryptonian. Like, straight up, just don't make her a Kryptonian.
They tried that for a while. It didn't work too well because she was Power Girl and she was Kryptonian.
Yeah, to me, it's like, either don't make her Kryptonian or find a way to make her Kryptonian, but make it interesting. Like, she doesn't need to be Superman's cousin or from some sort of parallel universe. Like, hey, she's just another Kryptonian that came to Earth. Shit happens, you know? Like, yeah. It doesn't need to just be two of them. There can be three. Hell, give us a Kryptonian that's not related to Superman so they can bang, at the very least. Like, Superman deserves to get laid.
He does. That's why he's named Wonder Woman.
Like, I need to see how that plays out before I comment on it, but, like, I just don't want it to be forced.
I concur. All right, so books are going to get canceled. Eye of Vampire.
You keep jumping around on the list.
I've been scrolling up and down on this list.
Yeah, I'm just, like, going down fast. Like, okay, now we're at Mr. Terrific now. Underhawk. We're at Mr. Terrific.
That's not going to last. We've already been over this, like, three times.
My thing with Mr. Terrific is that, I mean, I agree, that book's not going to last, and I don't think it should last, because it's like, the writer's not good. Like, the writer's not a good writer.
He has no positive momentum.
But to me, like, the question I'm wondering is, and it's just like, I guess this is me looking at it, it's like, I want to know which of the black characters at the end of the year is still going to have a book.
Static. Static.
Yeah.
Static. That's your black character who's going to be hanging around.
Yeah. I mean, I assume it's going to be Static too, but, like, I'm kind of rooting for Batwing.
Oh, he might still be around. I think Batwing, Judd will sell, and I do like Ben Oliver, but, like, that's, like, the one Bat book that I'm like, why the hell are you putting this out?
Yeah.
Like, who was clamoring for the Batman of Northern Africa?
I mean, honestly, no lie. Like, when I was reading Batman Inc. and, like, Batwing appeared, like, I got pretty fucking excited.
I bet you did. But
when I saw that Batwing solicit, I was really excited. A little confused, but also very excited.
You know what book I think has some of the most potential for a book that I don't think will ever be on anybody's pull list?
What?
DC Universe Presents.
See? Just looking at that...
Because you know why I like the idea for a book?
Why?
It's not a Jenkins Chang book. It's a different creative team for different stories book. I mean, it says right here, the 5-issue epic. So it's the first, it's a 5-issue arc by them, then a new creative team with a different character.
I mean, that book has potential only in the sense that, like,
It's a place where you go and you put characters who can't hold their own book but can hold a 5-issue miniseries without having to give them a 5-issue miniseries.
That means, like, I would really like to see what characters and what creators they bring onto that book.
I mean, Jenkins writing Dead Man, I want to see that.
That's not a combination that I'm particularly like interested in.
That seems like the kind of the character that Jenkins could probably do justice to, because he can't really do superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's just like, I don't know, I've never really been about these anthology books. You know, it's like, so it's like, I'm probably not going to pick up
these. This isn't really an anthology book. An anthology book is where you have like four stories in one issue.
Oh yeah.
This is just, I mean, like Marvel Comics Presents used to go on back in the 90s. Like, it's not the first time I've done a book like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always like these kinds of books. Like, it's a nice little place to showcase creative teams. Like, is what they tried with JLA and JSA Classified and Batman and Superman Classified, but this has less potential of suck because those were always like D-list creative teams that were just being thrown together out of stock work.
Yeah, to me, it's like, I'm not gonna read this book while doing this Dead Man. I don't care that much about Dead Man. You know?
I liked him after Brightest Day. He was one of the characters that came out of there decently.
Brightest Day did make me like him, but just like, I don't really like him enough to pick this up. But like, I will keep an eye on this book if it doesn't get canceled, which I think it might. Like, if this book lasts beyond Dead Man arc, I will be surprised.
I would not be, honestly, because it's going to be a book that they're going to expect on the lower end of the sales spectrum just because of what it is.
Oh, yeah, like, they'll definitely keep it around for a while, but, like,
I mean, it's a book that's not going to be there for sale. It's going to be there just to kind of, you know, showcase characters and talent that doesn't really have an ongoing place in the universe.
Yeah, but at the same token, it's like, why not just give Paul Jenkins an ongoing book to write?
Because Jenkins needs to earn that right again. I'm sorry, Prelude to Schism, what? Anything with the century since the first century miniseries, what? I'm sorry, Paul, you've hit a Robinson.
Dude, you're cold-blooded.
Check it and see.
Alright, let's see. Next up, we have Action Comics by Grant Morrison. Well, that's not going to get canceled. Like, there's not even a point in
life. We're just going to jump over the first couple of Superman books. He's going to last, and Superman by Perez is going to last. Superboy by Lobdell, it'll last. I just have no idea if it's going to be any good.
I mean,
it's a Superboy is like the first example we're coming across of a full reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fun thing to look at. We just got past Superman, and Superboy is the first reboot.
Well, my thing about Superboy, I don't know, the thing that interests me about Superboy is because I think for the longest time, something that fucking Jeff Johns in his fan fiction ways
made him a Superman kid.
Well, sort of the fact that he was half Superman, half Luthor. Like, for the longest time, that was like the most important thing about Superboy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, he's half Superman now, but what's the other half of him, you know? Like, I'm wondering if a writer will know what to do with him without sort of having, like, the foil of him being half Superman, half Luthor.
I would actually like to see I should say, part of what I think this whole reboot's for is, I mean, I think they're getting the death of Superman out of the way and just, it's gone, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can still keep the Cyborg around because he actually had stories before that, but it'll get rid of the Eradicator. It would require brand new use of John Henry Irons. But it would also explain why Superboy is a fresh character.
I mean, honestly, I have no idea how the reboot is working in regards to Superman. Like, I just don't
understand. I don't even know if it doesn't look like it's a reboot, but Superboy is like, this is a reboot. And I think part of it is also because the past couple of years, what's one thing that Superboy has not really done since Young Justice? Consistently. He's still done it, just not very often.
Use tactile telekinesis?
Use his actual powers.
Yeah.
I think this is an excuse to just make him have Superman powers, like in the Young Justice cartoon.
But to me it's like, that was shoddy writing. That was literally Jeff Johns not liking the way Superboy was as a character.
And it wasn't just him either. Other people were doing it too.
Well, yeah, but like to me it's like, that's shoddy writing all around. Like, where
I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that's one of the reasons why I think the reboot's happening is just to simplify his powers to same as Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can understand that. I can get why they would do that.
Yeah. All right.
But Superboy's going to survive. I mean, it's got a super in the name. Supergirl's going to survive.
I like this Supergirl. I like the solicit for this. I like Supergirl. Supergirl is a character I've kind of always dug, which is, like, if you've kept up with that book for the last couple of years... Like,
I love the Sterling Gates run, but it's been kind of what since then?
I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, how many creative teams have gone through on that book? Like, creative teams have run train on Supergirl.
The Gates Eagle run was the longest run in that book.
Yeah.
And they were off and on for, like... They were on for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, before... There were, like, 5 creative teams before then, and there have been 2 since then. And it's, like... The Gates run was great, but that book, like... It suffered from the planning of this relaunch because it was one of those books where it's like, well, crap, our creative team just left. What are we going to do now?
Yeah, but to me, it's just like... That girl's been passed around. That girl's been passed around like a drunk girl at a frat party.
She's a village bicycle.
Yeah. Like, Supergirl just needs to find a nice creative team and settle down and just come with good stories.
Something like Gates and Idol, where he stayed on for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with this team, like, if they do it well, I'd like to see them stick around. I like the pitch where the premise where it's like she's not trying to, you know, adapt to living on Earth. It's like she's on Earth, but she's like, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that works. Like, I want to see her be a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, not like a preteen
Just sort of bring it back in. I wonder if, like, Nick Spencer just kind of doesn't feel a little dumb signing that exclusive Marvel contract.
This could have been his.
I bet he could have written Supergirl for this relaunch.
I bet it could have been his.
Yeah, that could have been his book. That totally could have been his book.
The Supergirl... I'm going to see Mahmoud Azrar get work here because, like, Dynamo 5 looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But move on to the next book. So, okay, it's getting late. We're going long. So, let's... Okay. Power.
Let's see. Nothing bad is going to happen.
We're going to skip the Bat line altogether because that's fine.
Except you think Batwing's going to get canceled.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Catwoman's going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Batman and Robin's fine. Batgirl's fine. Nice. Batwoman's
going to be fine. DC's been promoting it heavily enough that it will sell well enough for them to keep it going.
You know what?
They're going to let the run... Or at least let them tell their... They probably have, like, a finite run because it's Williams.
Honestly, like, I wouldn't have thought this Batwoman book would be, like, a book that would, could support itself, but, like, when Batwoman didn't launch, like, those 4 times it was supposed to launch, like, people were fucking mad. People on Twitter were real mad.
Well, here's the problem when you put a giant chunk of an issue in every book, how many produces for a month, on 3 separate occasions, and then you don't launch the book.
Mm-hmm.
But Batwoman is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Nightwing is going to be fine. Catwoman's going to be fine.
Wait, I just noticed that John Winnick is writing Catwoman. That's astounding.
In all honesty, Birds of Prey did just fine with random thrown together creative teams. Catwoman's going to do great.
Yeah, I'm going to read Catwoman. Like, Catwoman wasn't one of my yeses. Now it's a yes. Like,
it's Winnick and March. Like, that's a good team.
Birds of Prey.
Straczynski writing it can be really interesting. Saez on art. I like Saez. I'll check it out. Like, it could be interesting.
I'm saying no.
I like Straczynski.
I mean, I'm just saying no on Birds of Prey because, like, I just don't care.
I'll give it to you. It's fair. Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Canceled.
I want to read it.
Canceled. I have the vaguest interest in reading that book because I would really like to see a well-written Roy Harper.
Lava could do it.
I know, and, like, if anything, like, I think what will keep that book alive is people who love Roy Harper. That's what will keep that book going, straight up.
I don't know. I think Jason Todd has some fans. The people who did vote for him to die.
I don't.
All right, let's go through the next couple books. Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, New Guardians. Those are, we're going to call those success, success, success.
Yeah.
Red Lanterns, that'll sell. Justice League Dark. When we get down to this part here, the Dark line, all the horror books, I don't want to judge any of these books actually separately. I want to actually skip over this line and just say with a flat sentence that these books are going to have lower standards for sales set because Vertigo is now integrated completely in here. These are all... Because, you know, Vertigo used to just be the horror line. It was magic, it was horror, it was supernatural. It was not fables.
Mm-hmm.
And by moving all of it back in the DC universe, you create a niche that Marvel really does not have at all, and that's, you know, kind of a macabre section of your main universe. Mm-hmm. So these books will succeed, and, you know, they're going to have different standards for success in these books. I would like to see them do well. You got some great teams here. I mean, Milligan on Justice League Dark, Snyder and Packett on Swamp Thing, Lemire doing the only things he probably can do right with Animal Man and Frankenstein, because... Hey, Frankenstein was not a bad issue for that Flashpoint issue.
I didn't even read it. Didn't care.
I'd recommend checking out. It was not bad. It was actually... it was easier to read than Morrison's Frankenstein.
Okay.
Eye Vampire, I don't give two craps about this book. Now, Resurrection Man, I'll talk about because... I'll say this for a later date because, like I said, it's late. But Resurrection Man, this book is... I am so happy to see this book.
To me... It's not even about Shelley, the character. The fact that they have Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. You put those two on any book, I'm going to read it straight up. Fuck it. I'll read any book they're writing.
Let's look at Annihilators. I have no interest in the book save for their writing it.
Yeah. Like, I don't really like any of those characters.
It's a $5 book that's, like, normal length. And I'm buying it because it's them.
Yeah. Those guys sell books.
It's like, they're great writers. They have a fan base. And Fernando Dagnino was Generation Lost. He really came into his own in that book. They got a good pencil.
I wish they were on The Flash. Holy shit. Like, they should write The Flash.
They should write The Flash.
They should write Justice League.
Demon Knights by Paul Cornell and Dio... I'm going to try and say this guy's name. I'll say I think this is the guy who was doing Green Arrow with Krall.
Yeah.
He was a damn fine artist in that book. I like this book... I would normally not care, and I see this creative team sold.
Mm. I mean, like, to me, like, I was just sold on the concept of this book that I wanted.
And which one?
The concept of this book.
Yeah. Like, Cornell sells me now, but, like, we did Stormwatch. We hit Voodoo by Ron Mars and Sammy Basri.
Canceled,
but I'm going to read it. I like Ron Mars, and Sammy Basri was the one doing the pencils for Power Girl under Winnick, and that was a good-looking book.
Yeah.
So, like, this book, I would like to see it survive. It won't. Grifter by Nathan Edmondson and art by Cafu.
Canceled.
I think it's going to survive at least till issue 7. Edmondson's the guy who does that Jake Ellis book. Like, he's got a lot of indie credit. Like, he's I guess he's a crime writer or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I like Grifter. I would like to see Grifter survive. I'm a Wildcats fan. I'm a Wildstorm fan. I'd like to see this book make it. It won't.
To me, like, those are just... That's just one of those characters. Like, I have, like, a bunch of old Image comics. Just, like, that I just got. Like, people just gave me this old Image comics I just have.
And that's
just,
how it usually worked.
Old, just really shitty comics. They're, like, they're not comics I've ever really read. But I just look at them and I don't want to read them. You know what I mean?
I get that.
So it's like, I kind of just have that association with Grifter. Like, I just can't be like, I want to read this book. I can't. Sorry, Grifter.
Deathstroke, Kyle Higgins and Joe Bennett. I'm interested because, like, you know, Higgins, he's doing Gates of Gotham, and he's doing Nightwing, and if he takes off, I would like to, you know, be reading him while he takes off. And I'm always a fan of Joe Bennett, and I'm really happy to see, like, the entire Generation Lost art team have separate jobs.
Yeah. It's
like,
cool.
Like, that's really interesting. Like, all three of those guys have jobs. Everybody from Brightest Day has a job, too.
Oh, yeah. DC keeping those dudes around. Those books sold well. Those books are well-liked, well-received. Like,
those are jobs. They deserved it. And, you know, Deathstroke, I'm not really, you know, sold on the new costume, but I'll check it out. The
costume is terrible.
I'll check the book out, though.
I mean,
if it's slayed back to basics without any of the bullshit...
To me, he's just one of those characters, like, I've always thought he's cool, I've never really liked him. You know, like, if he was on the Suicide Squad, like, I would care a little more, but it's like, I'm going to read the fuck out of Suicide Squad.
Well, we're on Suicide Squad. Adam Glass and Marco Rudy, Harley Quinn's new costume, Deadshot, King Shark,
sold. You know why it sold? Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that is a name that sells. Like, I remember so many people were asking Gail Simone on Twitter, like, if there was going to be a Suicide Squad book.
Yeah.
Like, that's a book people want to see.
I honestly expected her to be writing it.
Oh, I don't know why she's not. That'd be great.
Because she's got other books she's working on. But, yeah. I'm amazed that this isn't what Secret Six evolved into.
OMAC,
bro, I'm not going to talk about this book. Let's just say, fuck it, I don't want to read it.
To me, OMAC is just like, this seems like the most misguided of all the books that they're launching.
DiDio and Giffen. DiDio, you don't deserve to write a Wave 1 book.
No, dude, like, I read some of his Outsiders, like, he's terrible.
He's not a very good writer. Like, he's decent enough running that company, but he's not a writer. And he shouldn't. And the fact is, that spot could be going to any other fucking book in the world and any better off. Blackhawks by Mike Costa and art by Ken Lashley. I have no interest in this. I don't think it's going to last.
To me, I don't think it's going to last, but I'm interested in this book.
I have no idea who Mike Costa is.
I'm interested in this book only because I would like to see sort of how it connects to the DC universe as a whole, like in regards to like Stormwatch, you know?
Yeah.
Like the concept interests me, but whether or not the book actually like works, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't have like as we get through the list, like I just get confused by some of these books. I just don't know how they'll do.
I got some stuff that he's written. He wrote The Secret History of the Authority, Hawksmoor. Mm-hmm. And he's writing G.I. Joe, Cobra, and Transformers for IDW.
I mean, that doesn't inspire, like, confidence.
It doesn't, so I'm going to skip on to the next one.
I also don't have, like, any negative feelings toward that either.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this. Men of War's up next with Ivan Brandon on writing it.
No.
Ivan Brandon, I actually do like his work, but I'm not reading this book.
Like, this book has a second issue. Well, since there had to be three issues in the bag, this book is going to have at least three issues. But, like, a fourth issue would surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All-Star Western's going to survive as long as they want it to survive, because this is just Jonah Hex being relaunched.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to talk about it, I don't care. Justin Gray, Joey Palmiotti, apparently they did a great job in Jonah Hex. I don't like Westerns.
Yeah.
I'm not their audience. It's
not like, really all about it either.
Like, I'm not a Western person. I respect the people who do like it. I know a lot of people who are really psyched for this book. If you like Westerns, Jonah Hex, this is for you. Not me.
Yeah. Teen Titans is obviously not going to get canceled.
I think it's going to thrive with Scott Lobdell on there, but then again, I grew up with Generation X.
I mean, me personally, like, to me, this is one of those books where just, like, if it's not well received within, like, the first six issues, I foresee a creative team shakeup.
This is also only the second or third book we've come across that's actually getting rebooted.
Yeah.
Like, this is a fun thing to notice, is we're most of the way through the list, and we've only hit, less than five reboots.
But to me, it's like, this is one of those books that, like,
it'll either sink or swim, but they're gonna...
This is one of those books that DC wants to work. And, like, if it doesn't work, DC is going to do what they have to do to make it work, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like the people
Teen Titans has stalled long enough that they have to make it work now.
Yeah, but I mean, I personally think that the people who are writing the books that are actually getting fully rebooted, I think they're on much thinner ice than all the other writers.
I completely agree. And, you know, Scott Lobdell's writing both of them.
Yeah. He is. He really is.
And, like, I'll say, my faith in him only comes from the fact that I grew up with him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Static Shock, that's a must-buy.
Definitely a must-buy, and I feel and like...
Scott McDaniel is a nice person to have on that book, too, because that man does not miss deadlines.
No. Also, like, what the fuck happened to Felicia Henderson?
She's gone, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, not that I wanted her to write Static Shock, but just, like, what happened?
Apparently, McDaniel and that zombie guy turned in a better pitch.
Yeah, sure, but to me, it's like, well, then why the fuck, like... DC has known this has been happening for a while. Like, why did they even solicit... Well, I mean, I guess it's the same reason they solicited, like, Brian Clevenger.
Yeah.
That's the Firestorm writer, too, isn't he?
Well, she also had that special that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I didn't even read that.
I didn't either. All right.
You didn't read that.
Next up, Hawk and Dove by Sterling Gates and Rob Liefeld.
All about it.
I'm all about this book. I'm
all about Rob Liefeld having a book.
All I got to say to anybody who's, you know, still in this by now, Rob Liefeld gets my vote for guy who loves his job the most. For every bit of crap this man has gotten over the last 20, 25 years, I've never seen him not draw.
You know what? After this announcement, I started following him on Twitter. Like,
I've been following him for months. Like, he's yeah. I'm always disappointed when I go to a convention and he's not there. It's only happened once. I've only been like two conventions, but like Rob Liefeld, I have nothing but respect for the man. I mean, for as much flack as he takes, he still goes out there and he does his job and he does it his way. He doesn't let them bother him. Like, I have all respect for this man. And Sterling Gates, his Supergirl, was great. Also keep in mind, Rob Liefeld pretty much created this version of Hawk and Dove. This is how he got famous.
And also, I don't even think I've noticed his solicits. I like that Dove is dating Deadman.
Wait, I didn't read the solicit. That's awesome. She's still dating him.
Yeah, that's great.
He's dead.
Oh, do you think he hops into the Hawk's body and they bang?
Well, don't forget in JSA when Johns is writing it, Dove had Hawk's baby, and that was Dr. Fate.
Yeah, I don't know. None of the words you said made any sense to me.
In the early issues of JSA, the first arc, this was Goyer and Robinson writing it then, and they had to find the Fate baby. And there was a woman who gave birth to a kid, and the kid wound up being aged immediately to adulthood, and it was, what's his name?
Kent?
Not Kent, it was, it was Hawkman's son. Hawkman's son. Hector Hall. Yeah, and Hector Hall was born, the baby was born, then aged to become Hector Hall. And then he thinks that the woman was actually his wife, and Slam went on. And then he finds out that it was Dove. And that's how Dove got brought back, because she was killed off by Monarch when Hank first turned.
Yes, it's Zero Hour.
No, that was Armageddon 2001.
All right.
He helped Parallax out, and he turned into Extant in Zero Hour. She died in Armageddon, and she gave birth to Hawk's baby, who wound up being Dr. Fate because she was order and he was chaos, so the baby was a mix.
Yeah, you just like.
He was like a mulatto of order and chaos.
He just went to the whole story that I've never read and I never want to read. never want to read that.
Legion, Blue Beetle. That'll last.
Oh, Blue Beetle. I'm so.
Tony Bennett is like one of their new go-to writers. I'm very happy about this.
I'm so happy that Jimmy Reyes has this book.
I'm so happy that they gave him Bennett because he's one of their name value writers now. Like, he's definitely climbing.
I'm glad this book exists.
This book makes me happy.
I love Jimmy Reyes. I was Jason Rush and my motherfucker Ryan Shore can have books too, but you know what? It's okay. Fuck it. I'm happy with this.
Yeah, this is just fine by me.
Legion of Superheroes? Fucking finally. We're gonna, not just Paul Levitz, but Fabian, we're gonna have two good Legion of Superheroes books. That's fucking amazing. That's great.
I'm actually maybe on Legion and definitely on Legion Lost. Because Levitz's Legion the past couple months is just maybe it's because he knew nothing mattered, but at the same time this book isn't rebooted either. So maybe if he gets his pacing down, I'll be happier. But Legion Lost looks awesome.
Yeah,
Fabian and Pete Woods with a team of seven Legionnaires stranded modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Sold.
And you know what though? What's good is that running through this list, not that many of these, as far as we're concerned anyway, and honestly, who cares what we think, but as far as we're concerned, most of these books seem like they have a pretty solid future.
Yeah, and they have a solid future. For everybody saying, DC new and it's being rebooted and everything doesn't matter. Superboy, Teen Titans, and maybe Hawkman. Those are your reboots. Mr. Terrific, maybe too.
I mean,
are the only reboot-sounding books.
To me, I'm still waiting to see what the new status quo is going to be. I have no idea what the fuck is going to happen, but to me, it's exciting. It's cool.
It is. I'm getting more excited by the minute.
Yeah, all right.
It's getting... It's they got a nice little hype wagon coming here. And the other thing is, to take it back to how we all started out, the reason I have the most faith is because I don't see DC throwing it back to the wind and putting all their books back to the old numbers in a year and a half.
No, you know what the weird thing is? A lot of people, like, I've been seeing a lot of people saying online that, like, when this, like, a lot of people have been saying online that when this relaunch fails, they're going to use Multiversity to bring us back to the whole DC universe. And I don't know why people think that. Like, I feel like DC has to stick to their guns on this. This isn't a thing they can undo. This is a bold-ass move. This is something that when you do it, like, you have to stick with it.
Like, the biggest unraveling they could do is if Detective Comics, they gave it a 900th issue, because that's coming up in a couple of, in like a year or two.
Yeah, to me it's like,
Detective Comics. And like, even then, I see it being like when Dan Slott did She-Hulk 200 a couple years ago, or 100 a couple years ago, and, you know, what was it, they numbered up for one issue, and they went right back to where it was before.
Yeah, those books are definitely going to get their numbering back. But otherwise, like, this relaunch is here to stay, and people should just get used to it, honestly.
And it's like, not a bad thing. Like, it's really no different than, you know, 1 year later.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different, but I'm saying as far as all of a sudden you've got a fresh place to jump onto books with new creative teams and new pitches and new status quos. Only now you've got a universe-wide status quo. And unlike Marvel, with DC, we know this status quo is going to be there for the foreseeable future. With Marvel, you know that you've got it for a year. Mm-hmm. And it might be 2 years, but it's never going to be 3 years. And, you know, Barbara Gordon's going to be Batgirl, and that's a big problem. But you know what? I see DC sticking to their guns on it for whatever reason they are. And I see her being, you know, being shown to the readers, this is why she's Batgirl. The same way Stephanie was, this is why she's Batgirl. And Cassandra was, this is why she's Batgirl. Even if Babs only planned to be Batgirl for 4 issues and they switch to somebody else, for those 4 issues, we're going to believe that she's Batgirl and not that she's just filling in the pants. And you look over at Marvel and you have somebody switch their job. Well, I'll just point out that there's a Captain America movie coming out in about a month, and that Steve Rogers is Captain America, and that not only is Bucky not Captain America, but he dead.
Yeah, and Bucky's not coming back from the dead, everybody. Like, unless the hand brings Bucky back as an evil ninja,
Bucky's dead.
Bucky's dead forever.
He's dead, and that's the thing, is the movie's coming out, so Steve's not only Steve Captain America, but Bucky's dead.
Yeah.
And that's Marvel. Marvel lives by status quo. You never see it shift too far for too long. And, you know, things will change around, like there are, you know, No More Mutants was there, and it's, you know, it's really kind of scaled down, but that, and, you know, One More Day happened and all that crap happened there. But you don't really see Marvel move too far away from their established status quo. Like, they'll shift it a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, but they always want it just right so they can level it back out when they need to. And DC, when they move their status quo around, it just gets moved.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, we've kind of come full circle on that topic, but it's just sort of like, right now it's sort of like DC's drawing a line in the sand, basically. It's asking us, where do you want to go from here? Like, I'm looking at something online right now saying that next year's Marvel event is going to involve Norman Osborn. Like, honestly, what the fuck is that? Like, do we want to see Norman Osborn as a villain again? No. Nope. No.
We really don't. But no, hey, don't. How about Uncanny X-Men ending in October to be relaunched in November?
I mean, honestly, I have nothing. Until I actually read Schism and see why this is happening, like, I can't even comment on it.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's Marvel's going to do a lot of the same old stuff that DC's doing and that they've been doing. But, you know, you gotta read what you enjoy. And the fact is, I believe in a year, it's not gonna matter what books we read from Bendis this past year, because he's gonna be doing new books. Mm-hmm. I believe when Avengers comes out next year, they're gonna relaunch Avengers with the new number one and a new status quo by Bendis, and it's gonna be a team that's still gonna have Spider-Woman on it, and Luke Cage might be on it, he might not be, and it's gonna be the same old talky crap.
Dude, no lie, I'm gonna put it out here right now, and I want you to hold me to it. I'm done with Avengers. I'm done reading it.
I was gonna give it a new chance when I saw that Bachelot was drawing that issue, because that was so good looking. And then I found out he's on the first issue, and then Romita's back on there, and I'm like, done.
I'm just done with it. Like, to me, it's like there's just nothing. To me, it's just, it bothers me to read a book. To read, not only read a book, but to spend money on a book that aggravates me. You know what I mean?
Especially for $4 an issue.
Exactly. And it's like there's only so much a motherfucker. There's only so much I can like a character. There's only so much I can like a character before I just have to say, I'm done with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm dropping out on that too. I mean, it's if it was $2.99, maybe, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's $3.99. It's subpar. It's maybe I'll try Secret by Warren Ellis, but I'm off Avengers because of Romita and because of the inconsistent storytelling and in general not giving a damn.
I mean, I have a huge boner for Warren Ellis, so like I'm going to read this.
Like I'm reading that from him because it's Warren Ellis and he's got 6 issues.
And speaking of that, like I forgot that Freak Angels came out yesterday. So
go get a read.
Yeah. Alright, so I think we talked all we can about the DC reboot.
We might come back and do the status quo talk another time, but
yeah. I mean, I feel like
this is a good talk.
We should definitely split this up into two.
I'm actually going to, if this works, I'm just going to save it and email it to you to do what you do with.
All right, fine.
That's so perfect. Cross your fingers, and everybody, thanks for sitting with us. This will be not 2 hours long when you listen to it, but me listen to it all at once, and you'll have fun with it. Everybody, I'm Gray Sherrill. Jules.
I'm Jules Galette.
Have a good night, people.
All right. Peace.
Peace.